And on KBRB, we are joined in studio by Sand Hills hometown. Well, not hometowner. Sand Hills, we don't even want to call you a transplant, really. You're close enough that we've adopted.
50 years
We've adopted you as one of our own right now. This is, hey, U.S. Senator Deb Fischer joining us here back in the home country on a break from the Senate, and she's made her way to the KBRB studios. Thanks for joining us. Good to see you.
It is good to be here. You know, it's August. Bruce and I travel the state in August, so we're able to get out and talk to people and listen to people. And obviously, Brown County is a special place, neighborhood, and so it's good to be back, Craig. Thanks.
Boys got all the hand done, or they put Bruce on a baler while he's back?
Well, no, Bruce is not on a baler, but he did a bunch of mowing around the buildings yesterday, and Haynes been slow with all
been
the moisture,
a little wet, yeah.
But we are not complaining about
nope.
the rain.
For sure. Well, it's always good to see you in person. And, of course, we keep up with some of the things you're doing in Washington through your releases and things. But, you know, there have been a few things recently that have kind of impacted this area in north central Nebraska that you've been working on as part of the Appropriations Committee, which, of course, is one of the coveted slots in the U.S. Senate is to get on that committee. And, of course, then now you're on the ranking side with the Republicans, the majority side. And talk about a few of the things. I know there's two or three that we could highlight that you've been able to try to say, hey, let's try to see if we can get some federal funds toward these projects. One of those through the Middle Niobrara Natural Resources District for some watershed work that they've been working on for several years.
Yeah, right. You know, it's nice to be on the Appropriations Committee, and I wanted to get on that committee, first of all, so we could fund priorities of government. To make sure that we take care of our national security, to invest in the future. And when I talk about investing in the future, what I try to do is bring taxpayer dollars back to the state of Nebraska and to cover the whole state. So I work with cities, I work with counties, I work with the state, taxing entities. People talk about property tax relief. Well, bringing those federal tax dollars back to us helps with tax relief here in Nebraska. So working with Middle Niobrara, NRD, they had some projects that you mentioned, and to make sure that we recognize the importance of those and to get money there. In Brown County, worked with county commissioners. There's some county bridges that need to be rehabbed a little bit, able to bring back some money for that to happen as well. And then O'Neill, with the hospital explosion that happened, being able to work with the hospital and get it through the committee, and that's going to be important for the people in that community. We have to make sure we have good health care facilities in our rural communities if we're going to be able to maintain our populations there and provide the services that are needed. Also at the state level, worked with the university. They are building a research center with the USDA ARS research facility focusing on precision ag, which is something that I really focus on in the United States Senate. And so we were able to get $25 million a couple years ago. This year, we're working hard to get it the bill passed by the House and the Senate. It's been passed by the Senate. And then have the president sign it for another $16 million to invest in that research facility for agriculture on the University of Nebraska Innovation Campus. So there are a number of things. Santee Sioux Tribe, this is one that I really touched my heart.
Yeah, with the water issues.
With the water issue. They have to bring in bottled water for drinking, for cooking, for bathing, and they have for years. So we were able to get some funding for that community to be able to refurbish their supply line so that they have clean water. That's a right that everybody should have. It costs a lot, but that's an investment that government should be making.
Yeah.
So, we're working hard on things like that.
Well, when you look at it from like the county bridge standpoint, any federal help, the costs have just risen so much to where your property tax dollars, what used to maybe fund two bridge rehabilitations or deck replacements or whatever, maybe funds a half or maybe one at the most. So it takes you longer to do each repair. Now more gets into more and more disrepair. So that you look at it from the highway dollars that come into the state, you know, it's twice as much or more to pave a mile of roadway than it was. So to have some federal assistance on projects like that keeps you, I wouldn't say ahead, but keeps you from falling further behind.
Yeah, exactly. And again, as I said, I represent the entire state of Nebraska, and it's important to me to be able to direct funding everywhere. To the state as well, because every citizen of Nebraska feels a tax burden, and so I want to bring some of that tax money back. And again, I only work with taxing entities because these are tax dollars coming back. So nonprofits, I help there by supporting letters for grants that they are trying to receive. But when it comes to appropriations and tax money coming back, I believe it's a way that I can help provide tax relief for Nebraskans.
Well, and you look at it from a research standpoint too, Senator. We see study after study that talks about these dollars that get invested in research through the university or through the medical center, or what the return is. And it's just always pretty staggering that what these research dollars do when they then get put to practical use by, you know, whether it's agricultural producers in the state or through the medical community, but just what the return on those investment dollars are.
Yeah, they're solid investments, and it benefits the entire state of Nebraska. So we continue to try and focus on those priorities that I think the federal government should help with.
Yeah, well, the bill that was passed to kind of fund the government and lay out the Republican priorities got through and was signed. And, you know, wanted to have you touch on, obviously, there were areas where you were looking at some cost savings, but areas where there was some investment, and a lot of areas where you were looking at making tax cuts permanent and doing things like not taxing wages or tips and overtime and some of those types of things to help the more working class. Wanted to just have you touch on some of those, but the one I really wanted to have you focus on, Deb, was the you start hearing things about, oh, it's going to close all these rural hospitals because there's funding that's going to go away. And you know, the more you read about that, the more it's like, I'm not sure that's actually the case, but you would know more than I would on some of those things and what that bill that was passed would mean for funding for like rural hospitals, rural critical access hospitals, those types of facilities.
Okay. You know, the one big, beautiful bill, working with President Trump on that, and in the Republican Senate and the Republican House, this was a Republican bill, and we did it through a process called reconciliation in the Senate, where it would only take 51 votes to get it passed. We knew we would have no help from the Democrats on this, and so what we tried to focus on, I would say, are four major areas, and the first was tax relief. We needed to make permanent the tax relief and reform that we did in 2017. That will keep or prohibit a $4 trillion tax increase by making that permanent, those tax reforms we did. For example, to be able to have the death tax, we increased the exemptions on that. It will allow Nebraskans to have $2,400 more in their pocket. It will increase a child tax credit, which would have decreased if this bill hadn't been passed. So there's a number of tax reforms that are going to help families, going to help businesses. I was able to make permanent my paid family medical leave. That's a huge deal. That was a bill that I worked on for a long time. We got it passed in the 2017, but now it's permanent. It is not an entitlement. It is not setting up another entitlement. It is not mandatory on businesses to provide paid family medical leave. This is a tax credit, and it's a way that conservatives would look at how to approach a program like this, and that is through a tax credit for small businesses. Mom-and-pop businesses here in Ainsworth, Nebraska, are able to use some tools now to offer their salaried or hourly employees, the ability to take some time off to be a caregiver, but it's voluntary. So things like that. Secondly, provides for safer communities. You know, the border. We're putting more money towards building the wall, finishing that wall, to be able to hire more ICE agents. It's going to help our communities to be safer. We're putting $152 billion towards the Department of Defense. For example, the Sea Launch Cruise Missile, to be able to work on our missile defense to keep this country safe. A whole list of items that we were able to add additional money to besides the authorization and the appropriation process we have for DOD. So that was helpful. To be able to address agriculture. You know, we were able to put a lot of things that are usually in a farm bill into the one big beautiful bill. That's important. Why? Because we haven't been able to get Democrat support to get the farm back in the farm bill. That's why we didn't pass a farm bill the last 2 years. There just wasn't enough farm in the farm bill. It's a $1.5 trillion farm bill where $1.3 trillion was going to go for a SNAP program at the detriment to our safety nets, to our crop insurance, to our programs that we use, like ARC and those programs, the reference programs there to be able to take some of the risk out that our ag producers face, to help streamline disaster payments, to get the money to producers quicker, just a lot of things like that. And then when you talk about our rural hospitals, that was a big part of this. We addressed Medicaid, and we addressed waste, fraud, and abuse. Everybody who runs for office, you always hear us say, oh, we're going to take care of waste, fraud, and abuse. But it's hard to do. Hard to do at the federal level. But when you have a president like President Trump in the White House who is also looking at ways to make programs address who they were designed to, that's what we did with Medicaid. It's to help pregnant women. It's to help children. It's to help the disabled. It is to help our seniors. There is now going to be a work requirement. So when you hear about people being thrown off Medicaid, no, it is taking care of those populations that need the help. But if you're in your 20s or 30s, a single man who's able to have a job or to go to school or to do 20 hours a week of volunteer work in order to receive Medicaid, that's a good thing. You should have to do something. And what we saw in the previous 4 years under President Biden was an expansion to people who were never, it was never envisioned they would be part of this program. That is strengthens Medicaid. In our rural hospitals, we have an extra $50 billion in there to address our rural hospitals. Nebraska, our delegation, our federal delegation, worked to get CMS to grant Nebraska a waiver, which is what the legislature kind of tackled last year. Right before we passed the One Big Beautiful Bill, Nebraska qualified for that waiver finally. We were really, really pushing. My office pushed on that to get that done. But what that also does is to help Nebraska now qualify for the next 3 years for certain grant dollars that they would not have received before. So for 3 years, over this three-year period, it's anticipated Nebraska rural hospitals, Nebraska hospitals, will be receiving anywhere from $750 million to $1 billion. That's going to cover it. Are we going to see some rural clinics, rural hospitals close? We might, but not because of the One Big Beautiful Bill. You know, I've been told by the Hospital Association in Nebraska that there was probably a half dozen hospitals that were in danger of closing for the last 10 years. We heard about the clinic, down by Curtis that is closing. That announcement was made before the passage of this bill, and a lot of, I think, media picked up that story, and to be blunt, they twisted it some, because I've known for quite a few years that that hospital was in danger, or that clinic was in danger of closing. I don't want any rural hospital or clinic to close, because that keeps our rural communities vibrant. It keeps our rural communities strong. I don't want any school to close. People know that for 30, 40 years, I fought for our rural schools. Before I was ever in the Nebraska legislature, I was on a rural school board, a little country school board, and I fought for those rural schools. I want our rural communities to keep the services that they have so that they can grow and they can serve their citizens. So we can do that now through some of the measures we have, especially with our ag producers addressing those needs, our hospital needs, addressing Medicaid and truly providing for those who the program was designed for. So I feel good about that.
Yeah.